A couple of days ago, I attended my first nonviolent civil disobedience workshop held at the McMaster Student Center. I wasn't actually planning to use this information myself, being too physically unable to protest at the site, but I did want to find out what to expect at one of these protests. I was curious as to how one participates in a civil disobedience action. What I found out was how to be prepared for the possibility of being arrested. Most of the afternoon was spent preparing the protesters for various possible confrontations because, let's face it, this is no longer a sign-carrying event that tries to educate those who are ready to start the actual construction-deconstruction. The fate of the Red Hill Valley has already been decided by the city and the economic factors that are racing ahead with the permanent removal of the last urban green space. What is fueling the protest is not just a bunch of tree huggers. There were people from all sectors of society, all ages, and all holding a variety of reasons to risk arrest. These were a determined bunch of people who, although obviously not eager to risk criminal charges or time in jail, still were committed to stand fast to their ideals. Most of them have never done anything like this before and were hoping to fast-track their education in readiness for today. As of 6 a.m. this morning, Dufferin Construction has been slated to start digging into the ground, we think, and the protesters have been waiting for them. If they have been successful or not in stopping construction remains to be seen. We have planned a special show for today, one which will allow us to stay in the studio longer than usual so that we can make the phone lines free for those who wish to call in and report what may be happening at the Red Hill Creek location. This is just the start of many planned events over the coming months. Look for a demonstration at City Hall August the 13th, among other events. We will report demonstration sites as they come in. And now for a bit of background from the Showstoppers.
Hey, my name is Ken Stone. The name of the group officially is the Coalition for an Expressway Free Valley, but we call ourselves the Showstoppers. The Showstoppers name came from a comment by Larry Diani. He's an alderman in Stony Creek, and he's also a mayoral candidate, and he's head of the committee to build this stupid expressway for the city. And his comment was that even though they lack at least a dozen permits, maybe more, and they're years away from getting these, he said they're going to go ahead and go ahead with the construction this summer. This is 2003, this summer, unless there's a showstopper. And so we intend to be the showstoppers for Larry Diani's plans.
How many are there of you?
Well, there's about 30 of us on an email list. But that doesn't mean that. That's basically the core group who camped out last October. We're at the other end of the valley at Mud Street. And it was a wild success. I mean, all the people who were there really had a good time. And when the police came at night and took our license numbers and then sent a videographer to hide in the trees and take our pictures, a judge declared that it was illegal for them. We had every right to camp in the valley because lots of people camp in the valley, and that they did not have the right to conduct surveillance of illegal activity. And so the police were obliged to promise to destroy the records of our license numbers and to destroy the videotape.
A local judge?
A retired Superior Court judge who in public he wrote a letter to the Spectator and he made a couple of statements, and people went to the Police Services Board, and the Police Services Board decided that they would destroy the evidence.
No proof that evidence has been destroyed, is there?
Not to my knowledge. Not worried about it. They probably have a file on me about a meter thick. I've been involved in social activities in the Hamilton for 35 years, so.
I think I've read some of your letters to the editor, as a matter of fact.
In any case, based on the success of last October's campout, that they will not actually start the construction or destruction here in the valley until August the 5th, when the Migratory Birds Act allows them to start cutting trees down.
How effective has groups like Wildlife Preservation been in stopping this expressway?
I think we've been wildly successful. They've been talking about this for 50 years and they still haven't got it. And we intend to continue to be wildly successful and keep them and stop them from building it.
Does this mean you're going to start chaining yourself to trees?
Yes, we do have plans to do that. If it comes to that, yes, we do have people who are prepared, including myself, to chain themselves to trees or equipment or whatever is required, you know, to slow them down and to make, you know, to try and persuade the city and the successful bidder on the contract not to start building. We'll do whatever we can do.
I can see another scenario playing out here, like what happened in Gore Park, however many years ago that was, where there were all these grand plans to remake Gore Park that just sort of were below everybody's radar screen, and then finally they came and they cut down all the trees, and there was this enormous unexpected public outcry that they couldn't believe that they would do something so insane. And at that point it was stopped and they went back to the drawing board and they came up with a better plan that included trees. So this perhaps it's nice that they are starting on a small scale like this, or trying to, and in a really residential area as well, that how many of the people that live in these homes around us are aware of the noise that's planned to be coming here, and it could just be the little bit of taste that the public needs to really swell opposition beyond these groups like the Showstoppers and Friends of Red Hill Schoolhouse.
And you are?
My name is Raymond Darch. I've been a member of Friends of Red Hill Valley for about 6 years, and I'm also a member of Transport 2000 Canada, which is a volunteer organization with the mission of promoting environmentally sustainable modes of transportation, and it operates across Ontario and across Canada.
Didn't you just have a meeting you were telling me about last week for that group?
There was their monthly meeting for Transport 2000 Ontario was in Toronto yesterday, and various issues were discussed, and I gave them an update from Hamilton, and they have a position on the road that it's not a smart and it's not an economical way to move people and goods. There's other ways to do it. Across the world, people everywhere are trying to build themselves out of congestion and failing and just creating more congestion at great expense and great destruction. What kind of rail options are there for moving people in the Hamilton area? What kind of improved transit options are there? I live around the Eastgate Square area. That can be quite congested. The part of the argument for building the road is that it'll relieve congestion around the area of Highway 20 Eastgate Square. Well, I live there, and it can be busy, but it's nothing like the congestion that you see anywhere between Burlington and Oshawa every day during rush hour. I don't think it's the kind of congestion that requires a $250 million plus fix that they're proposing here. I think right around Eastgate Mall, if they could improve transit service to that mall from all the high-rise apartment buildings that are around it. I see every day seniors struggling across the busy roads. Intersections are like half a kilometer apart, and they just want to cross the road to go to the drugstore. And why is there not a shuttle bus that connects these big high-rises directly from their front door to the front door of Eastgate Mall? Instead, the priority is given to people that want to drive to the mall. Probably they're only driving because it's too much traffic to walk, and you got this vicious cycle happening. And fix a problem like that for very minimal expense, and you'll have one less reason to build a big expressway like this.
I've seen some of the situations you're talking about from people on apartment buildings on Queenston Road trying to get across that four-lane city street.
Yeah.
They are senior citizens. There's a lot of senior buildings around in that area, and I've seen them. It's a wonder to me they don't get run over.
There could even be a concrete median in that middle of the road there for them to help make it across. But that's not one of the city's priorities, is to make life easier for low-income seniors. It's clearly not one of their priorities. There are statistics. I'm sure that the truckers that are trying to get from Buffalo and Detroit are not using Highway 20, and they're not going through Hamilton. They're going up over the Skyway Bridge and then to the 403 to the 401. There are hundreds, at least hundreds of trucks per day that do that. And
thousands.
Hundreds simply from one company. GM between Buffalo and Detroit runs hundreds of trucks, whereas all the other traffic is in the thousands, either going to Detroit or to Port Huron, Sarnia. Let's throw open a big wide open invitation for these trucks to, from now and forevermore, to run through the east end of Hamilton. At our expense, yes, it would be a 9 kilometer shortcut to cut through the Red Hill Valley area. And
so for the sake of 9 to 12 kilometers in distance, that would be the only time saver for traffic going through. But this isn't local traffic, as you're saying here. This is, actually, it's international traffic if it's coming from the States, right?
The people that are pushing the expressway, they actually try to downplay that fact, that it's going to be such a big shortcut, and they try to minimize, oh, it's only going to be a very small number of trucks, and probably most of them won't divert onto the shortcut. They'll keep going the long way around. They'll climb the Skyway, they'll go around the loop at the 403, and they'll keep going. Simple common sense indicates that truckers will take the shortest route available.
Save money.
Yeah. And one climb up the escarpment instead of climbing over the Skyway and climbing over the escarpment and going 9 kilometers out of the way. Unless this were a toll road, which doesn't seem to be any chance of that happening, because that would really destroy the whole rationale of the road for a lot of people if it were a toll road. So,
you live near Eastgate Square, so you've seen the traffic that goes up and down Centennial Parkway, which is part of Highway 20. What's your observation on the type of traffic there? Is it local, or is it transport trucks coming from Buffalo?
I think I see a lot of trucks, and I recognize the company, and a lot of it is waste being hauled up to a landfill that's on top of the mountain that probably should have never been put there. A lot of the trucks are that. A lot of the traffic is Eastgate Mall traffic. I've noticed that for all the congestion that's supposed to be there, in the morning before 10 o'clock, before the mall opens, traffic is fairly well free-flowing down Highway 20 to get to the Queenie. There is none of this ferocious congestion that you hear about. It's only later on during the evening rush hour, where you have the shopping traffic conflicting with the work traffic, that you've got long queues of vehicles that stretch from Queenston Road back past Barton Street, which, like, it's there, but the traffic is moving. It's not the gridlock situation that you see, say, for example, stretching between Guelph Line and like Highway 403 in Mississauga, where it's stop-and-go traffic for about 30 kilometers. Here you've got stop-and-go traffic for maybe at most a kilometer.
I've seen some of that traffic myself up close and personal when I used to drive from Hamilton to Toronto, and one of the choices was to take the cutoff after coming over the bridge for 20 Highway to get up the mountain to go across to where I live, which is on the mountain. And that gridlock area you're talking about is like Barton to King Street, mostly. And it's bad. It's not pleasant to sit in. But it's not as bad as the morning traffic on the Queenie that I used to sit in for hours, because there's not enough GO trains going from Oakville into downtown Toronto, which always used to amaze me.
Just to follow up on what Ken was saying about there being no evidence for this giving any kind of benefit to the city, it's almost like an article of religious faith for certain types of people that roads are an absolute good.
We're expecting to have to set up a camp out on the weekend of August the 5th and stay indefinitely. That's the showdown. We've got it all arranged, and get to know each other and set up all the amenities for the camp. And we're also planning to do some tree planting right here, maybe build a tree perch, maybe have a doc showing survival skills or orienteering to the kids. We also have to have a telephone tree set up in case the city decides to break in another law, namely the Migratory Birds Act. Hopefully, if we'll have some of these people in these houses back onto this proposed ramp as our eyes and ears, and tell us, and if any construction or destruction crews show up, we'll have a telephone tree and hopefully get a crowd of people down here to try and stop them before they start.
Is this the first place you're going to start construction?
No, actually, this is the third spot that they have planned for this summer. They've already started on the first spot. It's the CNR tracks down by the old Brampton landfill site, and they don't have permits for that, and they're going to cut into a landfill, which they are strictly against the law, and on which $12 million were just recently spent to seal up. Now they want to open it and cart out a quarter of it. So they've started on that, but we decided we're not able to mount a defense there because we're already too late. They cut the trees. Second place that they're working this summer is up on Mud Street, and around the interchanges up there. It's already been destroyed. So again, and there's no neighborhood around. So we decided it wasn't an appropriate spot either. But this spot here has a neighborhood association, which is where the Friends of Red Hill originally got started. And it's such a ridiculously stupid idea, as you can see from sitting here. We picked our spot here because we think that, number one, it's an incredibly stupid place to put a road. And number two, we expect to have a neighborhood support.
Yep.
And number three, it gave us some time to prepare. So this is where we've decided to make our stand. And we think we have a reasonable chance of stopping them here if the neighborhood gets behind us. However, the law is set up to protect the people in power. And if they use the law to arrest people and cart us away and just pave over our camp out, prevent us from being successful in stopping the expressway here, the fallback, that position that people have to understand very clearly, is that we have to elect four new aldermen, four new council, city councilors. Right now on city council there are 17 people. There are 16 city councilors and one mayor. We have four city councilors who are opposed to the expressway now. Andrea Horvath, Dave Braden.
Okay. Well, Andrea Horvath is downtown, Dave Braden and Margaret McCarthy are in Flamborough, and Russ Powers is Dundas.
They're the farthest away from this actual location as far as ridings.
Yeah. And so the Friends of Red Hill is encouraging several candidates and supporting several candidates in different wards. David Christofferson, who is running for mayor, has come out against the expressway. So if we were to elect four city councilors more who oppose the expressway and the mayor, David Christofferson, the expressway party would no longer have a majority on city council, and the stupid idea could finally be buried, put to rest where it should have been put 50 years ago. Now, Mayor Wade is not running again, and Larry Diani is running against Dave Christofferson. Larry Diani is the head of the expressway party. He's from Stony Creek, just east of here.
So he's got a local vested interest, basically, from the local taxpayers, doesn't he?
He's got family relationships with the developers. He's just old school Stony Creek. The expressway will bring jobs and prosperity, period.
Yeah. But there's no proof to that, is there?
No, there's absolutely no proof, and actually the opposite. There's a considerable body of scientific research that shows that building expressways is counterproductive to the health of cities. Either we stop them here, physically, on this site. Mm-hmm. We stop them by chaining ourselves to trees, blocking bulldozers, and, persuading the destruction crews not to go ahead with their destruction. Or we have to get people serious about the civic election, because if at that point we haven't stopped them here, the only way to stop this never-ending battle that's been going on for 50 years is to change the city council's position and turn this into an official park. Again, my name is Ken Stone, and my email address is kenstone, all one word, small letters, at kogeco.ca. So it's kenstone@kogeco.ca, and my phone number is 383-7693, area code 905-383-7693.
Thanks, Ken.